heavily injured. If the sneak attack had done double damage to him, that meant that a normal attack could do 30 damage? With a normal constitution, this meant that each person could take 3 attacks before dying. He hurried to join combat, but decided to keep his distance. Joe started hurling balls of healing water, boosting his target's health by 5 points every few seconds. Tiona moved like a terrifying force of nature, twisting around attacks, bending at odd angles, and stabbing into exposed weak points with perfect timing. Her movements were graceful, but no matter how hard she tried, she was still taking damage every few seconds. Though she was usually able to avoid the main attack, she was still nicked by claws or teeth. This enemy was simply that strong and agile. Joe fired off his healing spells as fast as possible, and would have continued doing so if the creature's rage-filled gaze hadn't snapped to him. With a snarl, it charged past the other members and made a beeline for the healer. Just before the ball of fur, teeth, and fury reached him, Dylan barreled into the animal's side and knocked it over. The wolf was back on its feet in a flash, but now its focus was riveted on Dylan.
"Damn it! I am a tank!"
Dylan griped as he stabbed the wolf. Joe used the distraction to run around the fight and heal Tiona. After 2 uses of healing spells, Tiona rushed back into the battle. With the team getting healed each time the spell was off cooldown, the fight quickly grew to a close. A well-timed arrow thunked into the heart of the great animal, and it finally fell with a mournful howl.
"Zone alert. Members of the Guild of the Wanderers have killed a local animal field boss. For the next 24 hours, all wolves, having lost their protector, will take 20 bonus damage. The Wanderers Guild gains plus 20 fame with the city of Ardania."
The area alert faded, leaving only the reward for the battle in Joe's view.
"For being the first to vanquish the field boss, Silver Direwolf, you gain plus 1 skill point and plus 50 personal and guild fame with Ardania. Return the pelt of the fallen animal to the town guard for a monetary award. Experience, 150. For fighting through pain and saving yourself from otherwise certain death through sheer willpower, wisdom, plus 1.
Joe made a choking sound as he was engulfed in light. Euphoria flooded through him, and he levitated an inch off the ground. There was a soundless explosion, and Joe dropped to the ground completely refreshed. Even his clothes were clean. He looked around to see 2 other members of the party dropping to the ground as well, goofy smiles playing across their faces.
"I love leveling up!"
Dylan gave a shudder of happiness and looked at the massive wolf.
"We need to hurry. It's already getting dark."
"I'm on it."
Tiona started skinning the wolf, trying to keep the fur as intact as possible.
"Someone collect the meat as I go. It'll make it easier to flip over, and I bet direwolf meat will sell for a good price. I'd eat it."
"Same. Sounds exotic,"
the archer responded greedily.
"You realize you are talking about eating dog, right?"
Dylan sent a queer look at the pile of meat that was swiftly growing. Joe sat on the ground and exhaled softly. That had been way too close. His mind was frazzled, and his thoughts were fuzzy. He wanted to sleep. Joe reached out and plucked a flower growing next to him, twirling it in his hand and smelling it.
"New skill gained. Herbalism, novice 1. Plant? What plant? All you see is ingredients. Whether they are for dinner or for creating potions is up to you. Usable raw plants are 1% easier to find, 1% easier to process, and have 1% greater effect per skill level."
Joe continued looking at the plant in his hand, and it did indeed seem a tiny bit more distinctive. Without the notice, he would have chalked it up to not looking at it properly beforehand. He stared at the flower, trying to figure out what it was. The pop-up bar over the plant only showed question marks as his knowledge check failed, so Joe simply shrugged and put the plant into his pocket. He really needed to get a bag.
"Ready to go, cleric?"
Looking up, Joe noticed that the archer was holding a hand out to him.
"Sure thing, archer. What's your name, by the way?"
Ex-Nightmaster X?
I'm not calling you that.
Then call me Chad.
The archer grinned at him.
That's almost as bad.
Joe chuckled at the grinning ranger as they walked through the slowly darkening forest. Joe was the only person not carrying either a load of meat or pelts. He had tried to, but the stamina drain was so severe that he had only been able to take a few steps at a time with a single pelt before needing to recover or risk collapsing. Tiona had loaded his burden onto Dylan, stating that
if he were more weighed down, he would do fewer stupid things.
Now moving at as frantic of a pace as Joe could maintain, the group swiftly retraced their steps to the town. Joe was having an easier time of it, since not only was he unburdened, his class ability of dark vision made sure that he never stumbled on the roots and stones hidden by the encroaching darkness. Most of the animals they would have normally had to face were hiding, burrowed away from the dangers of night. The group entered town with grins on their faces, relieved to have made it before the gates were locked. That would have been an almost assured death sentence. They turned in their quest, gaining 3 gold and 90 silver coins for the pelt of the direwolf. Joe was disappointed at first, but the ecstatic faces of his groupmates assured him that the reward was a good one. As they talked about how they were going to spend their shares, he didn't have the heart to tell them that he could likely buy a small town with his bank account. They made their way back to their tavern just as the gates boomed, signaling that they had been barred for the night. No one was outside to see a few rotting rabbits begin to twitch. Chapter 8.
Wake up!
Joe howled as a cup of cold water was tossed on him, causing him to launch himself from the bed. His stamina instantly drained from that maneuver, and he ignobly collapsed into a pile on the floor.
Why? He sputtered at the grinning Tiona as he tried to use the bed to pull himself to his feet. How did you even get in here? I rented this room.
So? How would that stop anyone from getting in? You didn't even bother to lock the door.
She wagged a finger at him admonishingly.
You were supposed to stop thinking of this as a game, remember? As for why, well, you are just going to have to see it to believe it. Hurry up. It's a beautiful morning.
They went downstairs where a beaming guildmaster was turning his brightest smile on Joe. What's up with him? Joe was feeling distinctly uncomfortable from the creepy look. That smile was intense enough to classify as a light-based weapon.
You remember how we killed the direwolf last night and we got reputation for the guild? That's what the smile is for. We need to be at least friend-level reputation to get an official guild hall in the city. Getting a leg up on the competition is great because there can only be 4 official guild halls in the city. The first 4 to do so will get the title Noble Guild and have access to elite quests for the kingdom.
Tiona shrugged as if this was inconsequential and pointed at a bowl of food. She waited until he started to chow down before continuing to speak.
Eat fast. We need you right away. Oh, and did you look over your stats after leveling? You should have gotten a little stronger and gotten at least 1 skill point. I wouldn't recommend using it until you know how you want to build yourself, but feel free to ruin your character. The best way to see any changes is to say Delta Status. That will let you see only the changes on your sheet instead of a wall of text you can't see through.
Joe nodded at her and quickly intoned the words Delta Status. As he looked at the tiny window, he found that he was rather cheerful not to have to slog through an exhausting list. Intelligence, 16 to 17. Wisdom, 16 to 18. Level plus 1 for feat of willpower. Perception, 18 to 19. Unused skill points, 1 to 6. Level plus 1 for boss kill bonus. As expected, intelligence, wisdom, and perception increased by 1, while the others didn't budge, but when he glanced at his skill points, he nearly choked on his admittedly dry bread. He had 6 points. 6 of them. He got 1 point from the wolf boss, so did that mean he gained 4 points from leveling? Joe tore through his menus until he arrived at his class description, and his eyes lit up when he read the words, "They gain skill in their chosen pursuits at 4 times the speed of an average human due to their vast thirst for power." He wanted to shout for joy, but he knew that if he disclosed this information in public, he would likely be killed by other players out of jealousy. Doing his best to calm himself, he reached his hand toward his skill sheet. He shivered, feeling entirely too frustrated. Joe was itching to spend a couple points on his spells, and only Tiona's rather timely warnings about waiting kept him from becoming a miracle healer overnight. After finishing his breakfast, he was led to the gates by a grinning Tiona. The other party members looked a bit leery, but followed quietly. Stopping just before leaving town, she pointed at the field of rabbits.
"Take a look. Let me know what you see."
Joe glanced at the beautiful landscape, and his perception-enhanced eyes instantly locked onto a hopping oddity. What was wrong with that rabbit? Just as he realized the truth, a screen appeared in his vision. New Zone Quest. Waste not. The innumerable bodies left lying in the open have allowed a dark corruption to take hold of the rabbit population. They aren't that smart, but they are hopping mad and hungry. Kill all zombie rabbits around Ardania before the normal rabbit population is converted to the undead. Time remaining, 36 hours, 23 minutes. Reward, reputation based on contribution. Failure, the area will slowly convert to deadlands. Animals will starve and become much more vicious. Whoa. This game is freaking amazing. Joe couldn't stop a smile from crawling across his face. This is because people kept leaving the rabbits out in the open after killing them, right?
I don't see it. What are you talking about?
Dylan was looking around the open field with evident confusion, whereas the others quickly saw the issue. Bad perception? Joe grinned at the muscle-bound warrior. Looks like the rabbits that people left out in the open went full zombie mode. There is a zone quest to clear them out before we lose the rabbit population entirely. Dylan flinched as a screen appeared in front of him.
Okay, I see it now. Thanks for pointing it out. Chad would have made me suffer for a while first. Not my fault that you were building as a tank even before you knew you were going to be one.
Chad stared at Dylan, trying to make his eyes hypnotic.
Do it. Do it. I'm not going to be a tank!
Dylan shoved the ranger away. Where is everyone? Isn't this kind of important for the town? Joe was surprised to see Tiona roll her eyes.
It is, but most people don't care. It is technically a social quest. No guaranteed loot, so unless they're trying to get high reputation, they just won't bother.
She gestured at a group of people walking past all the zombies like they didn't have a care in the world.
The zombies are not hostile toward us right now, being too focused on killing healthy rabbits. The pelt and meat are rotten and were worthless even when they weren't disgusting. They apparently do give a little bit more experience.
That means nothing to me, though, Chad groaned abruptly. I got a total of 0 experience from them yesterday.
That's why we are going to the edge of Fox territory to grind today.
Tiona grinned wickedly at Joe, creating a sinking feeling in his stomach.
We are going to hunt foxes while Joe hunts zombits. We meet up to get healed or if one of us needs help.
Zombits? Oh, zombie rabbits. Cute. Joe shrugged his thin shoulders.
Works for me. I could use the practice.
They started walking, exterminating all zombies in their path to gain some progression in the quest. It took a bit longer than expected because the corpse didn't count as dead until either fully dismembered or the heads were crushed. When they got to the edge of the territory, the others gave a jaunty wave and left Joe to kill the rotten balls of fluff and pus. They intended to stay within shouting range, but Joe still felt a bit nervous to be alone. Luckily, the dead animals weren't hostile until attacked, so he could take his time lining up his attacks. He got behind a roaming zombie, grasped his scepter with both hands, and brought the weapon down as hard as he could. A sad little -1 floated away from the rabbit. The zombie shuffled to a stop, twitched as though it had been bitten by a mosquito, and then turned around after deciding it had indeed been attacked. Joe glanced at his stamina bar, noting that it had dropped by a third. So the careful stance and purposeful swing had cost less than his wild attack on the wolf last night? Good to know. He swung again, his scepter cracking against the rotting legs of the rabbit.
Minus one, crippled. Movement speed, minus 30%.
Good. That should slow the animal down and allow him to regenerate some stamina. Joe was gasping a little. The force he needed if he wanted to inflict any damage was difficult to muster. The zombie suddenly lunged at him, tearing into his leg with its large, flat teeth. Joe released a high-pitched shriek as the fatty sores in his leg were exposed to the open air.
Minus 7 health. Bleeding. Minor. Minus 1 health per 5 seconds. Minor infection possible if wound is not treated within 30 minutes.
How the heck was that fair? He was swinging a weapon, it was using rotten teeth. Off balance, Joe swung his weapon again, hitting the animal and fully draining his stamina. He dropped to the ground as a wave of exhaustion hit him, and he waited for the next attack to tear into his body. After a moment, he opened his eyes and looked for the zombie he had been fighting. The creature was not in sight, but a small pile of ash informed him of its fate. Joe was confused enough that he had to look over the combat logs.
Glancing blow. Zombie rabbit takes 0 damage. Scepter activates ability. Turn undead. As zombie rabbit is at half health or below, it is disintegrated. Experience 4.
Well, that explains it. Joe looked at his weapon with a new appreciation and was also pleased to know new facts about the zombies. They had to have between 3 to 4 health, and they bit really hard. Not only did he need to watch out for their normal attacks, but there was no way he could dodge. He had to be extra careful to stay on top of his wounds, because while he didn't know what disease damage would do to him, it was likely unpleasant. With a quick motion, he healed his leg and sat down to recover his stamina. He didn't want to be lazy, but he needed to be able to swing his weapon with full force at least 3 times. Also, weren't the zombie versions of these animals supposed to be worth extra experience?
Automated system response. As a cleric not devoted to evil or necromancy, a part of your duties is to destroy undead. No extra experience will be gained for their destruction.
Well, that was just unpleasant. He had been hoping for quick levels off of this. Joe quickly began hunting in earnest, trying to refine his skull-bashing technique as he went along. Get behind Zombit, swing scepter into creature's leg, and hopefully cripple it. Step back, let stamina refill a little. Attack twice, hit head as hard as possible. If the Zombit died, great. If not, step back and wait a moment. Finish off Zombit, collapse from exhaustion. It took a few tries, but he started becoming more efficient at dismantling the undead bunnies. He got a notification 3 hours into killing zombies, just as he killed his 32nd animal.
For landing 100 attacks without missing, dexterity plus 1. For having refilled your stamina from under a third, 30 times in 3 hours, constitution plus 1. Skill gained, staff mastery, novice 1. You have taken a step on the path of hitting your opponents with blunt objects and hoping against hope they stay away from you. You are doing great.
Yes! He was well on his way to being as healthy as an average child. Maybe a sickly child. A scepter was considered a staff? All right, he could deal with that. Joe planned to keep going, but his rumbling stomach informed him that he was starting to become hungry. He turned back, slowly making his way toward the meeting point with the team. As he arrived, he froze as he noticed something amiss. It took a moment to understand why his senses were screaming danger, but then someone stepped out from behind a tree and the smell of blood wafted over his enhanced senses.
"Hello there. You must be the cleric who has caused so much trouble for us."
The man was grinning, but certainly didn't appear overly happy.
"The Wanderer's Guild is ahead of us in reputation gains now. How do you propose to fix that for me?"
Joe was startled by the sudden development, but tried to keep his wits about himself. "I have no idea what you mean. I'm sorry to say I can't help you. I'm just here to meet up with my team.
Oh?
A few more people stepped out of cover as the man spoke.
Tiona's team, right? Well, they'll be back online tomorrow. How about you party with us for a while instead? You know, make up for wasting our time.
Obviously these people had killed Joe's team while he was away heroically slaying rabbits. From the look of the blood dripping from the others, saying no wouldn't be appreciated.
And who are you?
Joe asked as boldly as possible, trying to inject himself with confidence.
I go by Headshot. I'm the leader of a little guild. You may have heard of it. The Hardcores.
His grin widened as he saw Joe make the connection. The Hardcores were the guild of people dedicated to PKing people in long-term pods. Knowing that Joe knew about him, Headshot was baffled by the next words he heard.
No chance. May as well send me to respawn.
Joe glared at the people who had killed his team before turning and trying to walk away.
Hey, hey!
No need to be so hostile. Headshot made a motion, and the others surrounded Joe, cutting off his escape.
How about you just come with us for a walk, and you can make your decision when we are done chatting?
A blade poked into Joe's back, knocking off 5 health points and making him wince. Headshot turned around and started strolling along. Joe was forced to follow.
There are so many benefits to working for me. You level faster because the competition won't take your kills, you get to go into high-density spawning areas that we control, and best of all, my guild won't kill you every time we see you.
Joe stayed silent as the man waxed eloquent about all the control tactics he used against other people, but was fully disgusted by what he heard. The way this man was speaking, everyone in the guild was a slave, while everyone else was an obstacle to be cut down. They passed through the edge of the wolves' territory, and a thundering sound began to grow in volume.
Wondering what that is?
Headshot was no longer smiling or pretending to be nice. He seemed to have decided that Joe wasn't going to accept his offer. Now his only interest was making the defiant clerk hurt as much as possible before dying.
That's a waterfall. It flows off what can only be called a hole in the world into a really small lake. Well, maybe it just looks small. It is a long way down, after all. You don't care about that, though. What you care about is all the rock that surrounds the tiny lake.
Joe was forced to the edge of the hole when they got to it and had to admit that Headshot hadn't been exaggerating. This felt like the edge of the world. As far as he could tell, the ground just dropped a few thousand feet.
What was strange was that he could see sunlight at the bottom.
Was it another stage of the game? Another continent they hadn't unlocked? If so, either the land they were on was elevated or the one he was looking at had sunk. Headshot grabbed Joe by his neck and pushed him forward.
Time to choose. Join me and get all sorts of benefits, or take flying lessons and we'll try this again another time. Guess I'm going for respawn, because there's no chance I'm joining you. Also, your recruitment pitch sucks.
Joe made a rude gesture at Headshot, whose face contorted in anger.
You overgrown man-child.
You want to play it this way?
Fine. Jump.
Headshot folded his arms and glared.
That way, you will get the maximum respawn time. Intentionally jumping off a cliff? What will the AI think of you? I'm not jumping.
Joe glared back just as hard, extending the rude gesture to the other players as he waited for the situation to come to a head.
Either sign the contract to join our guild, or we are going to start taking chunks off of you. Or you can just jump. If you make us start slashing you, we'll be sure not to let you die. I don't need my name to go red again, or it'd be past dark by the time I could re-enter town.
You are a total ass. Screw your guild. I will get back at you for this, Joe promised vehemently, having made his decision.
Start stabbing him, boys. He's getting too chatty. As pointy objects began closing in on him, Joe took a deep breath, turned, and jumped. Chapter 9. Wind rushed around Joe as he approached terminal velocity. The rock was looming ever closer as Joe tried to think of a way out of this situation, but all he came up with was, "This is going to hurt." He was almost positive that he would survive because the effects of his undying robe would kick in. Sadly, he wasn't sure if he would stay alive very long, since he was certain that he would be a messy stain on the ground. Joe targeted himself and cast heal, and a globe of water appeared in his hand. His falling speed created a whipping wind that pulled the healing water off of him as it tried to collect in his hand, but he noticed that despite not being able to control the spell, the water was following his path through the air. The range was only supposed to be 10 feet for the spell. Would falling negate that? Increase the range, perhaps? It was a desperate hope, but he made as many orbs as he could, starting to hyperventilate as the last few feet passed in a blur. Splat! Joe had belly flopped onto the ground, and should have died instantly. There was now a wall of text in front of his eyes, but he was unable to focus on the information the game was providing him. Joe could only focus on what his body was telling him. His eyes had popped. His insides were outsides. His bones were shattered to splinters. Splash! The 5 spheres of healing water landed in succession on him, and his damaged body was forced into a cohesive shape. He would have screamed if he weren't in shock when his spinal column reconnected itself. In an instant, he was at 25 health. He grabbed himself and used lay on hands and heal until he was at full health, then flopped back and took deep, shuddering breaths. The pain had passed so fast that it was barely horrifyingly traumatic. He really hoped that he wouldn't have any dreams about this experience, though he knew it was inevitable. Joe opened his repaired eyes and looked over the notifications he had received. Heal used. Heal delayed due to travel speed, x5. True damage from impact with terrain received, -4,500 health. Jump skill not high enough to mitigate fall damage. Undying robes passive effect activated. Health set to 1. Crippled. Bleeding. Senses damaged. Bones broken x206. Organs ruptured. -50 health per second until healed. 5 health gain x5. Lay on hands activated x2. Heal activated x2. Organs repaired. Bleed effect removed. Full health restored. Joe looked at the messages and chuckled, preparing to find the energy and willpower to stand. More text began to appear, interrupting his rise. Achievement earned. Jump, jump, jump around. You have jumped so many times that you have spent over 30 seconds in the air. You have collectively jumped 850 times your height and lived to tell the tale. Jump skill has increased to... Error. Jump skill not found. You have earned the skill, jump, novice, error. While others take the boring route, you hop, skip, and especially jump along. Jump a total of 25 times your height to rank up. You have so far jumped 850 out of 0 times your height. Error, experience earned. Error, divide by 0, debug, experience 800. Joe was starting to get concerned. That was a lot of error messages. Was this all because he had not been pushed, but had jumped and survived? Your jump skill has increased to expert level 2. Your dedication to a single aspect of yourself has opened a new path for you to walk, or in this case, jump. You are able to find the magic in motion, the power in leaping, and the freedom of springing. Based on your use of this skill to this point, an extra effect has been added. Error. Skill unused to this point. Error.
Debug activated. New expert skill variant unlocked. Jump around. Effect. Add your jump skill level to anything that can be jumped. Current, plus 52. 1 point per skill point. Cost, variable. As an expert variant skill, it will have the same skill rank as its parent skill. Skill will be lost if another Jumplomancer attains a higher skill level than you. Class unlocked. Jumplomancer. Conditional unique. Anyone can become a Jumplomancer by entering the expert ranks of jumping, but so far, it is just you. Minus 50% jumping or falling damage until another Jumplomancer is able to outlevel your skill. Jumplomancer has been absorbed by class. Ritualist. All effects are retained, but any leveling bonuses to characteristic points are negated. Would you like to have your class shown as Jumplomancer or remain as Cleric? Note, skill and spell cost is 5 times more expensive if used from non-focused class. Reputation gain. Pending review. Issue elevated. Joe's head was spinning as he looked over these new details. He earned a new class? How did jump around work? He cleared his throat and stuttered, keep cleric class focused? Strange. I thought Mancer meant a form of divination. I suppose that it is just using the more commonly accepted term. Otherwise, I think it should be Jumplokineser. He waited for the system to acknowledge his words, but there was no noticeable change. Joe had no other choice but to start walking, looking for any path or sign of civilization. After roughly 10 minutes, he saw a dust cloud on the horizon. He stared at the rapidly moving dots in the cloud, trying to figure out what they were and what they were riding to be able to move that fast. One of the dots abruptly changed directions, followed shortly by the others. They moved quickly enough that they were just blurs, and within moments, Joe was surrounded. He blinked as he looked at the tall, pale forms surrounding him. They hadn't been riding anything. They were just running. They were mostly humanoid, but had other characteristics that he couldn't place. One of them said something unintelligible, and another seemed to become furious. They pointed at him, harshly chattering. Charisma check failed. The first creature shrugged, pulled out a shimmering mace, and swung it at Joe. Adolescent Goblin Berserker Novice Trainee deals 9,999 blunt damage. You have died. Due to you being in an area you could not have been in and fighting a monster that you should have never met, your respawn time is set to the lowest possible. You may join Eternia in 3 hours and will spawn at your current bind point or starting city. There are consequences for intentionally jumping off a cliff, though. I am reviewing the situation. You have lost 400 experience. Joe blinked. He looked around and realized this must be the respawn room. He hadn't felt any pain, but that attack had been more damaging than falling a few thousand feet and landing face first on stone. He shook his head. How was anyone supposed to fight that? Joe sat down on an overstuffed chair and looked around for anything to do while he waited. He almost smacked himself when he realized that he hadn't called his mother since joining the game. He quickly established a video call with her and broke into a smile when she teared up, seeing that Joe was walking and waving his arms. Her enthusiasm dropped a tiny bit when he explained that he was in a virtual reality, but he made sure to leave out the being legally dead part. They talked for over an hour before she had to go, but that conversation had been soothing to him, healing his soul on a level that only speaking to a loved one can achieve. Joe spent some time looking for data on the game, but it seemed there was still an information blackout. Drat. He had been hoping for some tips on advancing his skills. He tinkered around with the internet for a while until a beeping noise caught his attention. There was a countdown timer above a swirling darkness that was resolving into a portal. The portal stabilized as the timer ended, and Joe stepped through the opening directly to the town square of Ardania. The sun was already down, unsurprising as he had missed out on 6 hours of gameplay.
Joe found the nearest guard and told him about Headshot making him fall off the cliff to his death. The guard, while polite and sympathetic, simply waved at Joe and shrugged.
"What am I supposed to do here? You fell to your death, but here you stand, so..."
Not knowing what else to do, Joe went into his guild's tavern and temporary residence. A wall of noise almost threw his emaciated body back into the street as the door swung open. Someone noticed him and pointed him out. He was dragged to the front of the room and plopped in front of the guild leader.
"Joe! Cleric, right?"
"Yes, what's going on?"
Joe looked around as the noise subsided, the gathered people seeming to anticipate something.
"We declared war on the hardcores!"
the man shouted, a roar of approval meeting his words.
"They went around the city and wiped out 6 parties of our people. Then they started hunting field bosses and jumped in city reputation. They were ahead of our ranking all day, but about an hour ago, there was an announcement."
"What was it? I just respawned."
Joe was looking around at all the once again expectant faces, but at his words, their faces sagged.
"Dang. I thought it would be you."
The guild leader ran a hand through his hair and grinned goofily.
"Our guild just got 1,000 reputation points with the city for having the first person to get an expert-ranked skill. We are trying to figure out who it was, because if they leave the guild, they take the reputation with them. Now we are the number 1 ranked guild in the city and only a week or so from gaining friend status. We'd have had it sooner, but those hardcores keep stealing kills, then wiping us out. So, war."
"War!"
the guild members echoed the man.
"Where do I come in? They killed my whole team. I'm ready to get back at them."
Joe's voice was cold. A roar of approval made him smile, but the slaps on the back were literally killing him. He needed to subtly heal himself to stay standing.
"That's the spirit!"
Joe was clapped on the back once again.
"We need to heal up. They have more people, but if we can keep going after them, we will outpace them before they can understand what hit them."
"Works for me. Who needs healing?"
Joe started going around the room, and soon everyone who had been injured in the last week was at maximum health. After that, well, they were all in a tavern. Drinks were supplied by the guild, and everyone got roaring drunk. The next day, the hunt would begin. Joe woke up, clutching his head and groaning. He tried healing himself, but the healing water flowing over him did nothing for his dehydration. Inspired by a sudden thought and memories of this exact situation in the army, he punctured a vein on his arm and directed his healing ability into his body like an IV. He was rewarded by a quickly decreasing migraine and a message from the system.
Hangover debuff removed. New skill gained. Cleanse. While others need to fight off the effects of poison, disease, or other detrimental effects, your patients will be able to ignore them entirely. Cost, 15N mana, where N equals skill level. Effect, remove detrimental effects over time. There will be a mana cost per second until the patient is cured. Recovery speed increases by 1% per skill level.
Awesome.
Joe decided that he would use Cleanse a few times this morning to display and level the skill, but would charge for it in the future. He started with the guild leader, who was squinting and grunting at an upset Tiona. As relief literally washed through him, the leader looked at Joe gratefully and was able to join in the conversation fully. Joe nodded and moved on to other severe patients. Soon the tavern was lively once more, and groups began moving out to hunt the hardcores.
"Joe, I'd like you to stay in town all day today, if at all possible."
The guild leader was ignoring Tiona as he said this, much to her displeasure.
"If someone tries to attack you in town, the guard will blacklist them and kill them for a week whenever they show up again. This way, we can bring our injured to you, and you stay safe."
Joe looked at Tiona, but had to agree that the logic was good.
Sure thing. I was actually hoping to find a library and read for a while. Yesterday was a little... intense.
A memory of pain flitted across his face as he remembered splattering his body across the bottom of a cliff. Tiona misinterpreted his expression.
Joe, I did the best I could. Don't quit my team just because you died once. All of us have. The first death is the hardest. You get used to it.
Whoa, slow down. I'm not quitting your team. I'm just taking a day off.
Joe's answer didn't seem to satisfy the fighter. Listen, Tiona, I got shoved off a cliff yesterday. I didn't die right away when I hit the ground, so I got to experience the lovely feeling of a first-person look at my intestines. I'm taking a single day to myself to get over that and heal other people. Tiona looked him over carefully, as if she could ascertain the veracity of his words with a staring contest.
Fine. You're coming along tomorrow, though, even if I have to drag you.
She blew out of the door, nearly taking it off the hinges. Joe was escorted to the city library and was politely asked to remain in the area so that he would be available for the guild's needs. Joe nodded and walked into the library, taking a deep breath of the slightly musty air. He had always loved books. When he was a teenager, he had volunteered at a library after school and on weekends just so that he could always be the first to check out the new books that came in. After he had been blown out of the sky, he hadn't been able to turn the pages. Entertainment had become all television all the time.
Good morning, traveler. What can we help you with today?
An older gentleman waved at him from behind a laden desk.
Oh, good morning. I am here to read and explore the history of the world, if possible.
How did you know that I was a traveler?
Joe was curious. It was almost impossible to tell a player from an NPC unless it was specifically stated or they offered you a quest.
We don't often see new faces here.
The librarian arched a brow at him over half-moon spectacles.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but access to the library is restricted. Not to be rude, but travelers tend to be rather destructive.
Joe's shoulders slumped a bit. He had really hoped to make some progress finding hidden knowledge.
What would I need to do in order to gain admittance?
He could always sneak in, but would rather not be sent to jail or attacked on sight.
You will need a recommendation from a city official. Anyone employed by the city in a high enough position of power will do.
The librarian nodded as he thought aloud.
If you manage that, I will grant you access to a few sections. More will be available if you do some work for us here.
There was no quest alert, so Joe knew that this was a personal, social quest. It was likely that he would get a reward beyond access to the books, but it wouldn't be explicitly stated, unlike the Zombit killing quest. He thought a moment and asked,
"Would the city guard captain be a worthy reference? I feel that he would be willing to do so."
"The captain?"
The librarian seemed startled as he looked up from the paper he had gone back to reading. Apparently no one else had continued to ask questions or put effort into entering the library.
Yes, he would be just fine. In fact, I have a communication crystal that connects to his office. Are you sure you would like to ask him? If he says no, I will assume you are lying to me. It won't go well for you.
Please give him a call, then.
Joe flashed a brilliant smile at the man, trying to project an innocent vibe.
All right, then.
The librarian shrugged and touched a crystal on his desk. When the captain answered a moment later, the librarian explained the situation. A glowing reference came pouring out of the communication crystal, to the point that when the librarian cut off the call, he stared at Joe incredulously.
How in the world did you get him to like you? He doesn't like anyone. He doesn't like me. I apologize, but I instantly thought you were lying to me. The only reason I actually called him was so that he could arrest you for attempting to use his name for access.
That seems a little excessive, Joe muttered softly. Not softly enough.
Excessive! Ha! The first traveler to come into the library set a first edition dungeon guide on fire. I've had these rules in place ever since, and guess how many books have started on fire after that? Zero!
He suddenly turned suspicious.
You can't create fire, can you?
I'm a cleric. I can create water. No fire yet. Joe thought it best to humor this angry individual. Could I ask your name?
I am Boris, the head librarian. You would better not get my books wet. Water can be as damaging as fire, if on a smaller scale.
Boris threatened while squinting at Joe.
After that recommendation from such an esteemed member of my fair city, you will have access to the entirety of the first floor. Even if my heart tells me to keep you away from my precious literature.
Many thanks, Sir Boris. Joe inclined his head a bit. I hope that my time here will help me along my path to becoming a scholar when I have gained enough knowledge. He started to walk in the book stacks, but Boris stopped him once again.
A scholar? You want to become a scholar? Not a great and powerful warrior, a vanquisher of beasts? You want to study dusty tombs and the written word?
Boris's eyes seemed to gleam. Of sorts, yes. I want to do all of that. The beasts included. Joe returned a half-smile to the frail-looking man. I want to learn more than is stored in safe and secure locations such as this lovely library. I want to seek out lost histories, find eons-old formulae painted on cave walls, and seek out powerful magic hidden by ancient mages. Alas, my strength is lacking for adventure as of yet, and so my journey begins here. Boris was now smiling at him.
I think I can see why the captain is so enamored with you. Well, if it is physical strength you need, you are on your own. But there are a few things you could do for me that could hurry along your search for knowledge. Also, as the head librarian, I am the man who will set you on the path of the scholar when you are strong enough. If you'd like, I can allow you to do some of the tasks beginners must complete and simply hold your reward until you are ready. Would this be acceptable?
Quest alert. Footsteps through history. 1. Head librarian Boris is offering tasks to you which all scholars need to complete. Your rewards will be held until you are ready for them, but this could be a great way to get ahead of the competition. Accept. Reject. Joe chose accept and reached out for a handshake. I would love to work with you. Thank you for this opportunity. Boris's smile seemed to become sinister as he assigned Joe his first task. 3 hours later, Joe was cursing his name as he attempted to sort another shelf. Sort the books on the first floor? Is this a sick joke? No title, no author. How the heck am I supposed to do this? By color? So far, he had found that the only method that would work was to read at least the first few chapters and try to understand what the book was all about. Then he would place similar books in piles and hope that he could find enough of them to fill a shelf. There has to be a better way of doing this. Maybe it is a skill given by the scholar job. They can see where the books should be. Is this some kind of torture? Joe did find a small benefit in the work as a notification popped up.
Skill gained. Reading. While others run around and get injured, you only strain your eyes. +2% reading speed per skill level.
Joe felt that that prompt had been a bit snarky, but the skill itself was excellent, giving a better percentage than any other skill he had gained. Was it because this wasn't a combat skill? He needed to find more information on leveling skills. Joe groaned as he looked over the vast collection of books. The first floor had all the common books of the kingdom, books that were available to anyone if they could find them. The higher floors had uncommon, rare, unique, and even a few legendary books somewhere. Earning access was the only way to get at them, as they were highly valued, and thus, highly protected. I need to find a faster way.
Maybe I could pray about it?
Deciding that he may as well try, since he was only doing this all day, Joe activated pray and prayed aloud for guidance in his tasks. Nothing seemed to happen, so he sighed and continued sorting.
Maybe he needed to be more specific?
He turned his head to look at all the books he needed to sort through, and his eyes jumped to a specific book on a specific shelf. A fairly large chunk of mana vanished as one of his new skills was used.
Divine intervention. Successful perception check. Perception plus jump around modifier.
Joe climbed a short ladder, trying to keep his eyes on the book. When his hands grasped it, he realized that he had needed to push other books out of the way to get to this one. It was on a shelf he hadn't intended to get to today, hidden in a place he couldn't see from the ground. Was this all because he could add his jump score to skills? Or was it only because he had prayed? Joe decided that he needed to test his skills much more thoroughly. He turned the book over, looking at it carefully, and trying to determine why it would be useful. He needed to hold the book carefully, as it was old and in poor shape. Walking over and sitting at a table, he gently opened the book and read through the first pages. Right away he found something interesting. Unlike most of the other books he had read, this one had a title.
Seriously? Novice ritual magic for the vastly uninformed? So, ritual magic for dummies?
Joe felt all of his hope deflate.
At least it seems to be for my class.
Let's see. Chapter 1. Rituals are spells that can affect a large area or a small individual target. While rituals have existed since time untold and can be used by anyone, they are a foolish waste of time and money and the brunt of jokes for their inefficient and expensive requirements. What a wonderful class I have gained. At least my ritual magic skill might finally become useful.
Looking through the various information on rituals available in the book, he nearly choked at the required components.
Gold thread?
Diamond dust?
Sacrifices of unbound level 20 beasts on an altar during a full moon? No wonder ritual magic was laughed at. Some of these things were simply impossible to acquire unless you were incredibly rich or powerful. This was a novice set of rituals? Or was it just a book to lead idiots astray? How did his ritualist effect come into play here? Did he need to use less components, or could he get away with using material that cost half as much? Could he use silver wire instead of gold, for instance? He needed to try one. He needed to know what to expect. Shaking himself out of his shock, he remembered how he had found this book. He had prayed for it, and his deity wouldn't lead him astray. Right? He had been looking for a way to organize the shelves. Perhaps that was included in this book somewhere? Joe paged through the grimoire, taking note of the myriad of spells it contained. Quite an impressive collection for this early in the game. Realistically, though, the amount of rituals contained in this book simply didn't matter. Unless he had a city's worth of resources to play with, it would be a long time until he could use most of these. About halfway through the tome, he found what he was looking for. Little Sister's Cleaning Service. Odd name. Does it summon spectral maids to clean?
Joe read over the requirements, trying to determine if it was feasible to attempt this ritual.
One low-grade monster core to empower the ritual.
Why is core capitalized?
1 foot of silver wire per 2 meters of effect. 1 zombie brain to perform the monotonous task, and an initial requirement of 800 mana?
Joe gagged a bit at the requirements. Sure, he had the money now, but he had grown up in the lower middle class. He wanted to save his money for when he needed it badly.
He cut off that train of thought and looked back at the ritual. It seems to be a permanent spell. At least, there is no ending time shown in the formula. So I need to cut the needed shape, the ritual diagram, into something to act as a focus? I should probably bring something with me so I don't damage the library's property. Pretty sure Boris would either kill me or have me arrested. Joe looked at the required material, then glanced around at the thousands of books waiting to be sorted. Pay to win was a valid strategy, right? Guess I'm running to the bank. Chapter 10. Stepping out of the library, Joe winced as the bright sun washed over his highly perceptive eyes. Yet another reason not to stay indoors and read tiny writing with poor lighting. No one from the guild had shown up for healing yet, so he felt secure in running to the market for a short while. Before that, he needed to retrieve some funds from his account. Taking the time to ask for directions to the building, Joe made his way to the capital's bank. There was a small crowd, but luckily the lines were fairly short. After waiting behind a man that smelled like he owned a half-dozen cats, Joe got to the desk and asked the teller to access his account. His damaged cloak and beginner's clothes were looked at by the, apparently judgmental, teller with a wry grin of disdain. Upon pulling up Joe's information, the man paled, coughed, and began assisting him very professionally. Joe looked at his account and was a little surprised. He had a full 100 gold more than expected. When he asked about it, the teller informed him it was due to his funds accruing interest. His account and the gold had been created before he started playing the game, so the big old pile of money had been sitting here growing larger by the day. Joe happily withdrew banknotes totaling 50 gold. They worked like checks, in that unless he signed them, they had no monetary worth. Even if he was robbed, the game ensured that his money was secure. Of course, the notes wouldn't work outside the city, if they ever found a town without a bank, so he also took out a few silver and copper as physical coins. Leaving the bank in a superb mood, Joe strolled toward the market. The silver wire was simple to purchase from a smith, though he seemed to think that Joe was a jewelry maker of some kind and tried to overcharge him by a huge amount. Having lived thriftily all his life, Joe talked the price down to a reasonable market value. When the smith came back a short time later, Joe found that he had another problem. He had no bag to hold items in. His coins were in a small pouch he had started with, but he needed to buy a backpack. The smith grunted and directed Joe to a general goods shop where he could find a storage container, promising to hold the wire until he returned. This process was turning out to have far too many steps for his liking. He needed to get back to the library before the others came looking for him. Joe walked into the shop and was greeted by an ancient husk that may have been a woman at one point.
"Welcome, young lady. Are your parents around?"
Joe looked around the empty shop, but she seemed to be talking to him. I'm neither young nor a lady."
"Oh, sorry about that, young man. My eyes aren't as sharp as they once were, and you are painfully tiny for an adult man. You aren't a gnome, are you?"
She adjusted glasses that would have served better as soda bottles and squinted at him.
"Haven't seen gnomes around here for a few centuries."
"No, just a thin human male." Joe was starting to become flustered. "I'm here to..."
"Fix that poor robe,"
the elderly lady interrupted.
"Good thing, too. It looks dejected, and it's unraveling by the second."
She stood up and walked over, running her hands over the tattered clothing.
"Unraveling?"
Joe looked at his robe. It had already saved him from certain death twice. He needed it to remain functional.
"Indeed. Undying robes, I haven't seen the like in quite a while. You came to the right place. One mistake while fixing these, and they turn into uninteresting robes. Hurry up now, hand them over. It'll cost 10 gold to fix these to perfect health, and I do mean health, not condition. Enchanted gear is alive, if only just barely.
The lady pulled his robe off with a surprising amount of force.
I see. Please repair them as best as you can.
Joe's words were mostly perfunctory, as the lady was already...